This morning we ministered at Word of His Grace in Mount Lake Terrace, Washington. And we've had an affiliation with them for a long, long time, as we have with you. And usually it's a slam dunk to get from hither to yon to get back down here, but we noticed that we'd forgotten to get gas the day before. But there was there was 30 miles on the range, just a matter of pulling off. So we did, and Donna got the pump started, and she's a stickler for a clean windshield, and I headed in for, you know, the bathroom, and we figured that things were working, and lo and behold, we thought it had filled up, but it wasn't. The pump was not working, and we got down to the, several miles down to the road, and it began to flash that we were on empty. And I looked at the receipt, and it was 0 gallons, zero charge. It hadn't been pumping anything, and we were functioning on fumes. I mean, we needed a few more fumes for the next off-ramp, and we filled up our tank and headed on down here. And then there was a mix-up at the desk on the motel reservations, and usually that's a slam dunk. And usually we have time to stretch out and take a cat nap before we get over here. But that wasn't the case. But as we were unloading, I said, Donna, honey, we've got time to unload all this stuff. We usually pack about everything we could possibly need. We haven't gotten that revelation on traveling light yet. And we've just got time to get on over there. Keith had to come over and straighten it out over at the motel desk. And just as we were getting ready to pack up, and I was headed out to the car with my guitar to wait for Donna, I heard this boisterous voice of a guy checking in and saying, God bless you, to the attendant. And as I came out and I said, are you a friend and a follower of the King? He said, no, sir, but I sure wish I was. I thought, may I pray a blessing over you? And as you're praying a blessing in the Spirit, you will get a prophetic postscript most of the time. There's an adjacent lane, and legal lane changing between prayer and the prophetic. And the Lord gave me insight into him. I could see he was moved. And I said, would you like to receive Jesus Christ right now? He said, yes, I would. He responded to the prayer. And when I asked afterwards where Jesus was, he says, right here in my heart. Oh, what a blessed time. What we thought were inconveniences and disruptions and delays, it was God working in the midst of things for good and getting on His timetable and not necessarily our own. Hallelujah. There's times when He will interrupt our schedule and mess things up, and what looks like chaos is just divine rearranging and intervention. Then there are times when He will move by His Spirit and offend our mind in order to get to our heart. Hallelujah. I've had that happen more than once. Praise the Lord. We're so glad to be here. Such a time to draw near to the King. We're seeing the beginnings of a silver strand on a horizon of revival, visitation all over the place. There's a deepened dynamic everywhere we're going. Our own church looks like a microcosm of Asbury. That's in Boise, Idaho. And there's a gold morning that's beginning to arise. And those that have been a remnant of intercessors have filled up the vial of God's blessing that He's beginning to tip, and we're beginning to see the beginnings of spring rain of resurrection visitation, the Son of Glory rising with healing in His wings, and a visitation that's going to result, as it already is, in revival in the church, and of turning things right side up that have been upside down, where platform has prevailed over presence. That's changing. It's movement. There's friction. Presence over platform, and that what delivers from the platform impact and penetration and germination of living seed into hearts that have been like melted wax in the presence of God. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it. Hallelujah. Jesus, draw me to your side that flowed with blood when you hung and died. Wash away my guilty stains till only your peace remains. I'm the branch and you're the vine. Let your life flow one with mine. Fill this branch with fruit divine. A harvest of your love. Holy, holy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, so worthy, soon to come again. The archangel with trumpet raised waits for the word your Father will say. Your bride with her arms outstretched in praise says, come quickly, oh my love. Come quickly, oh my love. Smith Wigglesworth had prophesied to a group of young ministers decades ago that there would be a finality of visitation that would become habitation and a pervasiveness of the Lord covering the earth. Oh, there would be evil, but it would be exposed with vitriolic gnashing of teeth, knowing it was countdown toward its annihilation. But it would incorporate all previous visitations into a manifold, harmonious oneness, and we'd be the prelude to the appearing of the King. And the end of history's haze, as we know it, would no longer coexist, and we would no longer see through a glass darkly, but see Him in His personified radiance. With joy beyond comprehension and expression, but we would do our best to express it. I remember the visitation of the Jesus movement, the Jesus people, and a convergence of the river of that with the charismatic renewal that came down out of Seattle at St. Mark's Episcopal Church. A tremendous visitation as Jesus dropped in on the dropouts in Haight-Ashbury. There's a joke that if you remember Haight-Ashbury, you weren't there. And I remember at that time I'd just gotten out of the United States Army in 1967, and I saw sociological upheaval, but I saw spiritual revival coexisting. Where sin does abound, there does grace much more also abound. I begin to see the dropouts of society, the peripheral, the marginal, the perceived as just don't have anything to do with. Jesus loved those kind of people, by the way. Don Francisco wrote a song, I've Always Got Time for My Friends, and he talked about who his friends were. It was just the religious elite that gave him a hard time, or tried. And he exposed and blew down that house of cards for what it was. But I remember getting out and seeing Holy Ghost heat hitting the streets and wanting to get a piece of the action. And there was a group down in the San Fernando Valley, Action Life Ministries, and there were several other similar groups that they coalesced with, Max Rappaport, Bob Swindoll, and others down in the area. And someone got the wonderful vision and idea. These guys that are hitting the streets with this kind of boldness, let's finance a trip to Copenhagen, Denmark, let's jam-pack an airliner and turn them loose to hit the streets and evangelize right in the midst of the pornography fair in Copenhagen and Odense going on right there. These guys are just wild enough to do it. And we were. Now, I was approaching 30 years old at that point, and that was pretty ripe for a boomer. And actually, technically, I'm not even a boomer. I'm a war baby. I was born in 1940. I'll be 83 come this September. And this gorgeous lady I'm married to doesn't mind me saying this. November, she will turn 80, and I know she doesn't look like that. I obviously married above me, so I'll just admit it. Admit the obvious and be glad of it. But I didn't know her at the time of this trip over to Copenhagen, Denmark. She was seated up in the front of the plane, and all I saw was her beautiful, at that time, dark brown, almost black hair. She's chosen to be auburn at this point, a woman's prerogative. And I was seated in the back, kind of smug in my singularity of the unofficial president of Bachelors for the Rapture. And we got there, and I was boggle-eyed and boggle-minded with jet lag. I had two brain cells working. One was lost. The other was looking for it. And I began to notice this super cute brunette with a sweetness of spirit cavorting around with her gal pals at a distance. And I tried to not stare like some kind of leering lech, but I would kind of Mr. Cool, kind of just glance over once in a while like that, thinking nobody was noticing me notice her. And that night in the guy's dorm, it was wall-to-wall sleeping bags in a choir loft, this hippie-looking dude with long hair and a beard comes over to me, and he says, "Dick, I know you from your coffee house ministry. You've yet to meet me. I'm Lonnie Frisbee." And he said, "I notice you noticing Donna." And then he went, "Go for it, brother." Turned around, and that was my beginning to the exposure of Prophet Lonnie Frisbee. Hallelujah. And I could see the Lord gathering the angels in a huddle, saying, "You know, old Dick, you know, he's kind of an all shucks, stumble over his own feet when it comes to girls, so he's going to need some help on this." And we could sense ourselves being jammed together as we were crowding on a bus. And the next thing you knew, we were side by side on the seat on the bus. We would be jammed into a packed seat on small team outreaches. And I began to notice this three-pronged cord of an affinity of spirit. She had a passion for God, of soul. I could be my authentic, imperfect, bumbling self around her sweet composure. And there wasn't any friction at all. It was very comfortable. And physicality, it was the first time God had ever smiled on a hormonal stampede. And I thought, this is a three-pronged cord of spirit, soul, and physicality that a senior minister told me about and told me to give up on the dating game of comparing personas, that I was no good at it anyway, which I wasn't, and that the Lord would help me to die to those kind of stampedes. And he would lull me into a sleep where that was concerned. And like Adam, he would awaken me when his chosen for me would step into that grace space. And there she was. And I thought, here I go. Stick a fork in me, I'm done. Praise the Lord. Lonnie came to our wedding, by the way. With his beard and long hair, he looked like the Prince of Freakdom. But from the neck down, he loved to shock people. He wore a three-piece business suit. And I know he was flawed like all of us, if you look at his history and know his bio. But I also remember his favorite songs that were often sung at beach baptisms, featuring literal hundreds of people crowding the shore and wading out into the waters of baptism as a testimony to their death to the old and their risenness in the newness of life in the Lord. You said you'd be there to share all my sorrows. You said you'd be there For all my tomorrows, I came so close to sending you away. But just like you promised, you came there to stay. I just had to pray. And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every tear drop when in darkness you cried. And I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. Savior, I give you my heart and my soul. I know that without you, I'd never be whole. Jesus, you've opened all the right doors, and I praise you and thank you from earth's humble shore. Take me, I'm yours. If you know it, sing it with me. And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every tear drop when in darkness you cried. And I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. It's okay to enjoy a little anointed nostalgia, knowing He saves the best wine for last. Amen. As we flow along in word and song and testimony this evening, I touch eternity and sometimes I don't know what time of day it is. Speaking of water, the water of life, it is written, Isaiah 12:3-4. In that day, with joy, will you draw water from the wells, plural, of salvation, and you will say, praise the Lord. It was a prophecy of a plurality of wells of liberation that we would draw the living water from and reap that freedom and learn to walk in it and be conveyors of it to the world around us. Centuries later, but just prior to the event of the cross that would make that an actuality, He stood at the great Feast of the Tabernacles, which was a celebration of Israel's survival in the wilderness and a celebration of the ingathering of a harvest. And He cried out with a loud voice in the temple, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And then it was qualified a few verses later that He spoke of the Spirit that would inhabit the redeemed, the regenerate, that would be conveyors of the very life of heavenly quality being on deposit and being orchestrated into demonstration through a people that were born again through receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. And at that time, it was a well, but may I suggest to you that within that well, there is a manifold grace of the all-encompassing grace of God. And we're going to consider three wells this evening: the well of forgiveness, the well of righteousness, and the well of wholeness. Hallelujah. Wells to be drawn from through faith that recognizes that those wells are in the depths of us, and declaration that draws those forward in their buoyancy and into expression, unto overflowing, and into the liberty that's ours. We've already been thoroughly liberated in our spirit, Our spirit is vacuum-packed, wall-to-wall Holy Ghost that can't be touched by anything demonic or anything alien to the kingdom. We are perfect in our spirit, and now the Lord begins to call us to feed that spirit with the substance of His Word, the inhalation of His presence, the exhaling of worship, and our heart, the depths of our desire, comes to where our treasure is, and there's a release of the Zoe life, the heavenly life of the Lord in power, purity, creativity, and all of its healing momentum that begins to rush into our soul and begin to bring it from what looked like a train wreck into soul prosperity with the ability to shine forth excellence from earthenware as we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Hallelujah. That's just plain, undefiled, pure, simple Christianity. It would take a committee of theologians to confuse it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Each day becomes fresh and new. And here as I'm approaching my 83rd birthday, I'm amazed at what He's taught me. Sometime in spite of myself. And with a childlike bewilderment of volumes of revelation knowledge that I'm yet to discover, I've learned more about God's grace. That is the operational power of His force and favor that's been released from the finished work of the cross that is already in session, and He watches over it to perform it as we appropriate it by faith, and heaven is exported to earth at the point of our practical needs, whatever those might be. We're being trained to reign. And many through depression, disappointment, and misplaced trust have had their wells clogged up and are getting their wells redug in these days, especially among us boomers. Many of us have been message-centered at the expense of being Christ-centered. That's taken one thing, giving it mental assent and trying to make it say everything, and in so doing was misplaced trust and disappointment and sickness of heart. We did it with the word of faith. We made one thing say everything, but when Jesus is central, we begin to hear the rhema, that is the word within the word, that He begins to personalize to us. And when that's in our heart, we give it declaration, and our tongue becomes a rudder in the buoyancy and force and flow of His life. We believe it and we receive it at the point we pray, but then He begins to lead us into the possession of it on a practical level. And sometime it can take a short time, and sometime a long time. There are certain things that we are still waiting to see manifestly materialize, but we've seen a lot in our years. And there is a restoration of hope among boomers. Grace was something else that we took. We gave it mental assent, and it just became license to let it all hang out, and sin was okay. When we got that at heart level, we saw that grace was the enablement to overcome sin. We saw that it was imputed through the perfect one by nothing that we did, and we wrapped our heart around it, laid our religiosity and our rebellion aside, and grace became the empowerment to walk in purity. Hallelujah. And what we did with discipleship shouldn't happen to a dog. There began to be men building their own kingdoms in the midst of the climate of the charismatic renewal. That wave receded. People began to do on dry shore what they had done in the spirit. Gifts began to operate apart from character, and a group of senior ministers got in a huddle saying, we need to do something about it, and they conceived something, if you remember, and if you don't, you didn't miss anything, the shepherding movement, a highly legalistic version of discipleship that violated the vertical. But you know, God is so patient with the church, and those brothers repented. And you know who they were. I don't need to name their names, but they are, if they're still on this side of glory, ministering to the whole body of Christ, and their ministry is richer than ever. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We took worship and made it a feel-good thing, resultant in therapy and a driving away for a little while of the darkness. King Saul knew that. Worship is an opportunity. Yes, it's therapeutic and it's healing, but we press into the very presence and we behold Him in His glorious countenance, and we are transformed into His image in further measure. I remember we used to measure worship by the amount of goosebumps or the decibels we could make on the sound meter. But we're understanding at heart level these truths that Jesus is the center, these other things are the spoke, and I appreciate Word of Faith Ministry more than I ever have. Ah, the discovery each new day. I long to walk where Your fullness dwells, drinking the power from the depths of Your well. Just keep me free for Your glory to tell, walking in our first love. Make me the man You want me to be, knowing New wonders Your glory to see, as You keep me this child, so adoring, so adoring to be, walking in our first love. Lord Jesus, each time I call on Your name, let nothing in me Your glory restrain, trusting in You, Your own will to gain, whether it's whirlwind or soft summer rain. And when the sunrise graces each dawn, let all of yesterday's chapter be gone, all of its glories and all of its wrongs, leaving today and You, leaving today and You. Blaise Pascal said, man is born with a God-shaped vacuum that can only be satisfied through a relationship with God in and through Jesus Christ. And people are getting in touch with their God-shaped vacuum, and desperation becomes the seedbed for revelation. We are starting to see all heaven break loose at the expense of the corruption and chaos and mismanagement that's gone on. Praise the name of the Lord. Where sin does abound, there does grace, the operational power and force of God's favor that's been set into motion by the finished work of the cross, and we're being trained to reign as the Spirit is teaching us by faith to appropriate what is heavenly in its dimension into an earthly terra firma, and to walk as people experiencing heaven in the here and now growingly. And begin to see it overflow from a church that's willing to be restored with presence elevated over platform, that goes forth to manifest the kingdom that is, not building their own kingdom, and being restored to being a temple, a body, a family, an army, a bride, and becoming expressors of the kingdom of God, invasive in every segment of secular society, be it the political realm, the media, the arts, the military, athletics, every area, education, some innovative new ways beginning to come, and a whole new breed of servant leader beginning to rise from the ranks and coming into their calling and taking a place of leadership, so humbled under the mighty hand of God, they begin to be a gloved extension, and they've got a towel in one hand willing to wash the feet of the filth that people have walked through the briars and the brambles, and a sword in the other to hit the hackles of hell off their heels and release them forward into the arms of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Coming along, work in progress myself. I don't have my spiritual PhD in a thing I just said, but I'm further along than the last time I saw you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Sometime when we're down and out, we can come and pour out our heart to God. and say, Lord, how long? David prayed that. I'm hurting. I feel the pain. No, I'm not going to be dominated by it. But I have to be honest and pour out my heart before the throne of your grace. But God, it's where you put the holy but, who is all surpassing in power, limitless in his mercy, and he begins to renew us in faith and in our Christ-centeredness, who is our mentor. We begin to walk moment by moment with him and learn the art of conquest in a world that's in dire need of seeing the victorious one live through us. Christian life isn't hard. It's impossible. Only one man ever lived it. And as we resign from religiosity and embrace the grace of God within us, he begins to live through us increasingly and widen our channels of attitude and action. That's just plain Christianity in session. It would take a room full of seminarians to confuse it. You give me songs in the night till the morning light breaks in on me. The darkness gives way to the light of the day you promised I'd see. Meanwhile, with a smile in the dark, I hearken to your voice and rejoice at the sound of your song in the night. Sweet song. And rejoice at the sound of your song in the night. So he leads us to the well of forgiveness. We have forgiveness of sins. We stand legally in blameless sinlessness before the Lord, positioned in our spirit, legally before God, and with a new nature created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. You don't have two natures. You don't have two natures. You don't have a collision of two natures resulting in religious schizophrenia. You have one nature created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. And as we feed that one nature, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to dominate the flesh, which is not our nature, used to be. But it is a condition that needs to be dealt with on a daily basis and died to by yielding humbly to the Spirit and living above the gravity of the flesh. Amen. Pray, that's what it is to take up the cross. Praise the name of the Lord. We stand in perfect righteousness. The misbehavior and missteps we make don't affect our position one iota. We still stand in perfect, blameless righteousness in the Lord. It doesn't taint our new nature. It just means we got out of line and had a temporary lapse into dumbness that might have been lengthy in its season. We might have gotten out into the North 40 of God knows where, but he knows where. And here's our heart cry when we say, come get me. Hallelujah. And so do we sin? Of course we sin. But it's a matter of being quick to repent and recognizing that our position has not been affected. Our sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven. There is no longer an alienation gap between ourselves and God. That's been bridged by Him, the supreme, superior bridge over troubled water. And so with the missteps, we say, Lord, we just draw from the well of your forgiveness. I confess in agreement with the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And you who watches over your word, you take that forgiveness that is mine positionally and you apply it practically in the washing of my feet with the water of the word. And the next thing you know, we're walking along in cadence with God in the light and we can't even remember how we screwed up. He doesn't care to. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord for his righteousness. Praise the Lord for his forgiveness. You are forgiven. You who once broke his heart, stood worlds apart, now shed a serpent's skin and receive a brand new robe. You are forgiven. The devil played his song. You once danced right along. But when the dance was through, he left you broken and alone. Enter the one who loved you from afar. You then received his song that filled your heart and thrilled your heart. Now you are forgiven. Your heart no longer bleeds, and as you dance, he leads, and you're forgiven through the one who gave his life for you. Now we're free, we're clean to walk in holy power. He leads us to the well of his righteousness, the perfect performance of the perfect one. When you stepped by faith into union with Christ, the Lord High Judge of the universe put down his gavel, and he who used to be your judge, although however reluctantly, caused mercy to triumph over justice, now became your daddy, Lord, your Abba. And he said, behold, the perfect one with his arm around you standing before me has interceded for you and heard your heart cry to fill that God-shaped vacuum. And now, not through your own performance, the Lord does say, but I look at you through the rose-colored lens of the blood of my Son, and my voice booms and swells the stars and rattles the universe and says, you are righteous. Hallelujah. And you have been set free from a vain way of life that attempts through performance-drivenness to acquire the acceptance that's already been purchased for us through Jesus. Every now and then we need to get to that well. We need course corrections. Isaiah 30:21, when you drift to the left, which is license, that's just sloppy living. When you drift to the right, which is legalism, religiosity, lawlessness, legalism, when you even begin to drift a little, and we do, we need several course corrections a day, we hear the Lord say, this is the way of the Lord, walk ye in it. What is that way? It is the buoyancy, force, and flow of being graced with his life and moving in union with his life and experiencing and expressing heaven on earth and growing in the consistency to moment by moment rely upon him, the resurrected conqueror within us. That's just pure, pure Christianity. Hallelujah. If we take a bunch of philosophers to confuse it or repute it, they would consider it foolishness, too simple, too good to be true, but it is true because God is so good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He leads us to the well of wholeness of soul and body. He's made healing of emotions, of our bodies available, deliverance. By his stripes we have been healed. We believe that we receive it, and we move forward in thanksgiving toward him. Oh, we might stumble and need our faith renewed on occasion. We persevere forward, and that which we have received, we possess experientially on the terra firma of planet Earth, as once again heaven has invaded Earth. Hallelujah. Maybe it's emotional healing. Maybe it's deliverance from a demonic infestation. Can't touch our spirit, but can become lodged in the subconscious of our minds, in our emotions. It can be through a repeated sin pattern in the past, or being abused, or being traumatized by somebody else's pain inflicted upon us. And at that point, a satanic squatter took up residency in an area of our thought and feeling and was hidden most of the time, but would come out when we were tired and frustrated and begin to be reminded of something, and we would be overwhelmed with a compulsion in a certain direction. There's a whole new wave of deliverance ministry that is being released, and we're going to discover it. I've experienced it myself. I can remember of harboring a horrible spirit of rejection. It was right after Donna and I were married, and I was getting very few ministry appointments, but took a job that was just, it was punishing. I probably should have looked further before I took it. But coming home, and I had left her that morning with a migraine headache, and she was breathing laboriously, and I had prayed just like I'd heard the evangelist pray on TV, and nothing happened. She didn't even flutter an eyelash. She just laid there in agony. I came home, took off my coat and my tie, and I plopped down and said, "Lord, I am speechless. I am pouring out my heart. I feel helpless." Thank God the confession police weren't there to pounce on me. They can really work you over. We did that with one another. And through an impression, he began to say, "Dick, you are my property. Rejection is not your portion. You are accepted, brought nigh to me by the blood of my Son. And the blood of my Son says you are my cherished possession. Begin to declare that right now. Take dominion over that infestation of that demon of rejection and expel it. Don't converse with it. Expel it in the name of Jesus. And you will be rid of the root, but there will be occasional follow-ups and washings to get rid of the residue as truth replaces where deception had been." Okay? And it suddenly dawned on me that I had a meeting scheduled that evening with a Baptist youth group in Reseda, California, just down the way from Canoga Park. I could hear my wife laboriously breathing. I went back and I prayed for her with the same vocabulary I had prayed before, but she opened those baby blue eyes and began to immediately feel better and say, "Honey, you got a meeting tonight, don't you?" I said, "Yes, I'd almost forgotten." She said, "All I've got in the house is toast." I said, "Well, toast and honey, dashboard dining." I was in the car and down my way to this Baptist youth group in Reseda, California, and all heaven broke loose there. And there were several baptized in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Emotional healing. Deliverance from the demonic. I could name you four globally known ministers. I won't do it because it's their story. They've already announced it on the internet, so it's no deep, dark secret. That in the early years of their ministry, one that labored under a horrendous spirit of lust, one under pornography, one under alcoholism, yet another over a spirit of gluttony, and yet they were moving effectively in ministry, living from exploit to exploit, but being tormented in between. And the Lord would come to that juncture where he'd say, "I'm not only grieved by you, but I'm grieved for you. We need to get this settled. Look to me and allow me to walk you through this thing into freedom." He didn't say oppression or possession. It's demonized, and that can be to various degrees, just like our body can be affected by anything from a common cold to COVID, if that's what it actually is. And I don't deny the reality of that adversary, just the stupidity with which it was handled was there. But God got us through it. Hallelujah. And think if 2 weeks from a demon forged in the pit of hell and conduited through China can change the way we do life as that God-filled vial of prayers begins to really dump, how quickly he can begin to change life as we know it and observe it and practice it in this day and time. A quick and rapid revelatory release of the kingdom of God we're going to see churches that would have no Pentecostal history, but the Lord hears a hunger. He doesn't read their bylaws, their theological statement, and falls upon them and sees them turned around. I saw three Baptist churches back during the Jesus Revolution that became charismatic overnight, and one Church of Christ. That had been Hillcrest, which we had been a part of back in the day. Hallelujah. One of my heroes in Scripture, Mary Magdalene. This is her song. No one sees a harlot's tears or cares about the guilt-stained years. Jesus' love cast out all fear. To the humble he draws so near. Ah, Mary Magdalene, to this world you once sold your soul. Jesus came, cast out your shame, seven times over, and he made you pure as gold. So Mary, run dry your eyes, anoint your hair with fragrance sweet. Let your childlike laughter ring, give way to dancing in your feet. Ah, Mary Magdalene, to this world you once sold your soul. Jesus came, cast out your shame, seven times over, and he made you pure as gold. Hallelujah. Jonathan and, help me, Karen, yes, Karen, of course. A dynamic duo that will be used as anointed agents of deliverance in these days and delight in the freedom resultant from the exercise of the authority upon the Lord has caused to rest upon you and is causing to rise again from the depths of your being. Jonathan, there will be times when your ministry will take on global proportions and you will travel to places that we Americans tend to be cerebral at the expense of our heart, but you're going to be in places to where they are ripe and ready for the penetration of the empowerment gospel and signs and wonders, and you're going to see blind eyes open and deaf ears opened, hearts healed, and people rise from wheelchairs. Praise the name of the Lord. There's going to be a freedom in your schedule to be able to do that. Karen, tremendous discernment and a gift of mercy. An ability to release the healing love of the Lord and to speak as the dove of deliverance and love lights on people's shoulder, begins to whisper the rhema word of God in their ear, and you'll see them set free. Younger women, as well as your generational peers. Hallelujah. Rick and Annie, that's right. Okay. I've just got a good memory. It just kind of gets downloaded and overloaded from year to year. And, you know, I do remember these folks. I don't remember a thing I said about them or over them before, because that's, you know, several hundred prophecies ago. But coming into the visibility of what you have envisioned in increased measure and seeing a prolific return of the prodigal. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, those things are bouncing all over the room in dynamic dittos. That's one of the things that the prophetic does. The lady in light blue, it's got a hint of green in it, and with the beads, what's your first name?
Laura.
But she's not only a dream, but she dreams dreams and has visions. You will see the stage of your anointed imagination illumined with heavenly pictures produced and directed by Jesus, the director and star of those things. You will see those things with an ability to verbalize them, and the poetry in your soul is coming forth. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Praise the Lord. My brother, even though you're sitting down, I can tell you're tall, In the plaid, sitting back here, what is your name?
Dwayne.
Dwayne, a shepherd's heart with prophetic perspective. You have seen so much in your time, and yet you travail as an intercessor to see the best yet to come and to see revival break loose and your extended family, which the Lord is going to maestro into manifestation, even as he's heard your travail at times with tears. His won't usurp their will, but the spring rain of the Spirit will soften their hearts to receive the seed of deliverance. Things you've already spoken into their lives will come alive to them personally, and they'll come into the freedom that you long to see for them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I got to check my chronos to make sure that I'm not losing touch with not being a steward of the time. My wife rarely knows what time it is. Her favorite wristwatch was a gift of a friend of hers, and it was beautiful, but it didn't work. Had the correct time twice a day. And recently, during the night, our cat, Thor, likes to play hockey with objects on the sink, and he pawed it into the garbage disposal, and we heard it disintegrating the next time the garbage disposal was turned on. Happened at our house. Ah, the love of God. Recognize the love of God. Receive the love of God. Be nurtured, planted, built up in it. Those are architectural terms. To be planted and built up in the love of God. And from that place, we begin to see the dimensions of just how vast is his embrace, the length of his reach in reaching those that seem to be unreachable, the depth even in the dark night of the soul that invades those situations and says, you may have hit rock bottom, but hey, I'm the rock and you're going to rise. Been there, done that myself. Praise the Lord. And the heights of the awareness of being seated at his right hand and the prophetic perspective and all of those things that looked like gigantic Godzillas in the arena suddenly become minuscule. All those anxieties that seem so overwhelming, we turn them over to the overcomer and hear his still small voice says, hey, relax, I got this. And by the time we get to the scene, the angels have landed like heavenly marines and the situation is well in hand. Praise the Lord. Oh, sometimes it amazes me how strong the power of your love can be. Sometimes you just take my breath away. You watch my love grow as a child, sometimes gentle, sometimes wild. Sometimes you just take my breath away. And it's too good to slip by, too good to lose, too good to be there just to use. Gonna stand up on a mountaintop and tell the news that you take my breath away. Sometimes it amazes me how strong the power of your love can be. Sometimes you just take my breath away. Your beauty's there in all I see. When I feel your eyes on me, don't you know it takes my breath away. Too good to slip by, too good to lose, too good to be there just to use. Gonna stand up on a mountaintop and tell the news that you are. You take my breath away, and it's too good to slip by, too good to lose, too good to be there just to use. Gonna stand up on a mountaintop and tell the news that you are. You take my breath away. The parade of prodigals is going to come out of that fog bank, and that huge company of intercessors, it's been travailing, the contractions getting closer and closer together. See them emerging like the walking dead, shielding their eyes against the glare of the sun, limping from the hurts inflicted by this world, rehearsing their "I'm a rat" speech. "I'm not worthy to be called your son or daughter. Just put me on as one of your hired hands. I'll sleep in the barn." Ah, but the intercessors have seen their true repentant heart. And they, like Don Francisco's song, "I don't care where you've been sleeping, I'm just glad to have you back," go racing across and smother them with kisses and hugs to where they can't even get out the "I'm a rat" speech that they've rehearsed. Take this robe, made just for you, warm and generous with its flowing folds. You were cold, soiled with shame. I covered you from cold and washed away your stains. So be yielded and receive the love that covers you. Sit by me, son, daughter. Now sit by me. Take this ring with my own name, bold and regal, with its shining seal. It's my signet. You were weak, so sick and lame. You limped to me and called my name, and you were healed. Receive my bold authority. Be trained to reign with me. Hey, reign with me. Now reign with me. Embrace the grace of my imputed righteousness, and my empowerment unto righteous living will rise within you, and you'll walk in peace. In the gentle rhythms of my grace, and not focused on the law, but on the law keeper, you'll find yourself through the promptings of the Holy Spirit walking and fulfilling my requirement on a practical level. Take these shoes, made just for you. We'll walk in peaceful paths of righteousness. Just do the things I tell you to, and just be honest with the mark you've missed. Oh, you'll need your feet washed occasionally. In this world, let your light shine. Son, daughter, tell them that you're mine. Tell them I love them too, like I love you. Maybe some of us need to get our wells unclogged this evening. We've drifted into condemnation. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, our own religious flesh will condemn us. The world will condemn us. Satan will condemn us. God does not condemn us. we are, as we yield to His Spirit, immune to condemnation. We're immune to it anyway, but we live in the awareness of no condemnation zone. Now, there is contamination, but He's quick to wash our feet with repentance sweet, with the water of life. And the next thing you know, we're walking in the light of who He is, love personified, and who we are, cherished and loved with authority over the powers of darkness and enforcers of Calvary's finished work. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by Him, and the Lord shall cover them all the day long. Drink deeply from His well. Renewed for forgiveness. Don't allow those past foul-ups and foibles to haunt and hammer you. Reject them. Allow the sword of the power of His forgiveness to hit those hackles on your heels and begin to run forward in step with Him. Draw from the well of His righteousness if you've lapsed into performance-drivenness. It's been imputed, and as you embrace the imputation of it, it becomes an impartation and release and an empowerment to walk in that righteousness. If there's need of wholeness of soul and body in any area, begin to appropriate and declare what He's already provided. And let your tongue be a rudder of thanksgiving in advance. And at times when maybe you're worn down and need a fresh faith transfusion, press into His presence, and He'll be there to underscore what He's already said to you and quicken you to believe with fresh fervor. Hallelujah. God bless that to you. It's been a pleasure and an honor to be with you.